Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone. And yes, I am deep into the vortex of the information revolution, and that's certainly what it is, and I think, we've got a long way to go. Yesterday, I did a show on Is America a Republic or a democracy? I didn't just do that just to answer the simple question. I did that to amplify and expand the definitions of a republic and a democracy so you people can go out there and educate your families, educate your children, and be armed and ready should someone want to debate you on what this country is and the direction that we should go in. Instead, I get one-word answers. Republic. Or, we're a republic. Yeah, I know that. And you know that. But can you explain the dynamics? Can you hold a debatable format with points and counterpoints? Or are you just going to say to somebody, F you, we're a republic? That just doesn't help. And it's frustrating. I get a response from some Nimrod that says, we're a republic, no article necessary. Like, my article on my show wasn't necessary. I lose my temper sometimes. And I wrote back, well, your stupid comment isn't necessary. You just can't say to someone in a one-word response, republic. You have to be able to explain. You have to arm yourselves. Unless you just want to sit there, be pissed off, say F you, this is what we are, and not be in a position where you can intellectually defend what you know to be true. And this is part of why I do this show. I'm going out, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing the research, because I know what the truth is. I know what this country is. I know what this country should look like. I know what we should look like in order to be a unified country where we must adopt spiritually, ideologically, and politically. I already know that. But it doesn't help when one person knows it or when 2% of the country know it. It doesn't help. So I feel compelled to share this with you. I do the work. You get to just download the show, share it to someone, or you get to memorize what I've said, or Google and find the articles yourselves, and you're ready to help your fellow man. You're ready to help your children. But if you don't want to, that's up to you. But I sometimes get frustrated when I just get stupid, 5-year-old answers. Republic. It's more than that. You have to be able to explain it. It's the same thing with this healthcare crap. And I know the title of my show is going to upset a lot of people because I've said that this healthcare, and I'll explain that further, repeal and replace nonsense, is a total scam right up to the White House. Yes, right up to Donald Trump. Donald Trump cannot wait to sign that bill as it is. He was going to do the first version. Couldn't wait. just so he could get on the pulpit and say, mission accomplished, I repealed Obamacare. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. All you would have done, if it had passed, is just add another letter in there. Instead of ACA, you would have had ACHA, carrying most of Obamacare's provisions. Most of the subsidies, most of the penalties to the people. You're still forcing an individual mandate. I don't care that you don't call it technically a tax, because the money wouldn't be going to the IRS. It's still a tax, because instead, the money would go to Blue Cross Blue Shield or Cigna. And a 30% surcharge never explained. Was that in the first month? Was that in the first quarter? Or for the entire year? When it comes to government, I assume the worst. I assume that 30% surcharge is for the entire year, because it was never explained. And I told that to you. For a family, simply put, for doing a grand a month, that's 12 G's, it's a $3,600 penalty if you didn't have continuous coverage. Folks, that's a tax. It's a levy, it's a lien, I don't care. It's a fee, same thing. It's taking the peanut and putting it into another shell, mixing it around. It's still the federal government owning and heavily, heavily designing an industry. We call that socialism. It is socialism, which really is communism, which really is totalitarianism. It's authoritarianism, folks. It's the government telling you what to do. You're not allowed to make your own decision. If you lose your job and you cannot afford COBRA and you've got to make a decision, health insurance or food for my family, and, well, logically, you would feed your family first and pray nothing major happens to any of you health-wise before you get another job. You go get another job, you get new coverage. Oh, you've had a lapse. Boom, 30% hit. Okay, that's the government shoving it on you. That's the government making your life harder. That's the government oppressing you. Do you not understand that? And for you so-called, Facebook patriots defending this bill and wanting Trump to sign it, you're not real Americans. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be harsh today. You're not real Americans. And you're begging for socialism. You're no better than the people on the left. This bill is disgusting. It is a sham. It is a travesty. It is not what Donald Trump promised. It is a lie. And I'm telling you right now, if the GOP passes this thing, and Donald Trump signs it into law, I'm telling you this right now, the government will own the health insurance industry forever. And from this moment on, at 10:10 a.m. Central Time, July 14th, 2017, I, Michael B., your host of the Truth Zone, will never call this a health care bill again. This is not about health care. If you go into the emergency room with chest pains or coughing up blood, the hospital has to treat you. This is about health insurance. Health insurance. Healthcare is a Hippocratic obligation to be administered to the sick by doctors and nurses. Health insurance is a fee-based program to protect you against bankruptcy and to protect healthcare facilities from not getting paid at least something by most of the people they treat. That's what health insurance is. It's leverage against disaster. Your personal financial disaster and the corporate financial disaster of healthcare facilities. That is what health insurance is. It is no difference from home insurance and auto insurance. It's bad enough, and I get it, that you have to have car insurance. But guess what? Outside of major cities and even not so major cities, a lot of people could get by without having a car. I mean, there are ways to get to work. Right? You don't have to own a home to have a roof over your head, but dollars to donuts. An illness is going to take your life. Dollars to donuts. And dollars to donuts, you live long enough, you're going to need some sort of long-term health assistance. Something. You're going to need pills. You're going to need some procedures. You're going to need a place to go. You're going to need someone to live with you. Most likely. There are very few people on this planet that live to, let's just say, 85, never saw a doctor, never got sick, and just, boom, dropped dead. Very, very few. And the more that our air, water, and food gets manipulated, you could say poisoned, the odds are you're going to need some health care at this point. But the government sticking it to you, taking your tax dollars, and subsidizing health insurance companies is not American. It's not constitutional. Subsidizing Americans and giving government handouts is not America. It is not a republic. It's unconstitutional. Enough of these handouts. The country has gone too far into socialism, starting with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and it's just grown and grown and grown. It is time to pull back. And the lie continues with this nonsense that Trump can't put money back into our pockets. We can't have tax reform. Our taxes can't be lowered. Well, how did John F. Kennedy do it, and how did Ronald Reagan do it? And by the way, the only reason why the debt went up is because under Ronald Reagan, and especially his second term, government greatly expanded. He didn't get rid of the Department of Education like he promised. It expanded. Government expanded under everything. And as government expands, you need money to service, right? And he signed into law the biggest tax increase in the history of this country at the time. Yeah, Ronald Reagan did that. Your hero. He was once my hero until I got educated. That's why I've been an independent for over 20 years. I don't have political affiliation because they're both liars. And this blind worship of Donald Trump makes me puke. It says right in the Bible, do not put your trust in nobles. And that doesn't mean noble people. It means the nobility, the ruling class. Don't put your trust in man. Rely on God's word. But you people don't do that. I have to look on my Facebook page every day. God bless Trump. Oh, Trump is my president. Oh, he's the greatest thing. Oh, my God. Now, you know what Donald Trump, let me tell you what Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is the better choice over Hillary Clinton. And that's why he got my vote. If Rand Paul, who we're going to play a couple of clips of later on, didn't fly off the rails, I don't know what happened to that man. I don't know if somebody paid him off. I don't know if he came off his medication. I'm being tongue-in-cheek here. I have no idea if he's on any. But the man just, you know, went a little bluey there, and he lost my support. He was my first choice. He crapped out in the polls, as he should have, and, well, we got what we got, the alternative. Now, I think Donald Trump has done some good things. Got us out of TPP, and we'll see if we get thrown into something else with the name change. Well, we'll see. He got us out of the Paris Accord. I appreciate that. The coal industry is coming back. I very much appreciate that. So, there are things that I'm pleased with. I am not pleased with his stance on this replacing health care. Health insurance. You know what? Here's the thing. Let me rephrase that. I am not happy with Donald Trump wanting to keep the health insurance industry in the hands of the federal government. I am not pleased. I am not pleased with his attacks on the Syrian government. Go wipe out ISIS in Syria, get rid of them, declare an ending to the civil war, make Assad keep his promise of allowing free elections, let the people decide their government, he steps down. He doesn't step down, then you go get him. I am not pleased with this forced regime change. Haven't we seen enough of it? So, and I am not pleased with this nonsense that he can't lower our taxes until healthcare is done. That's ridiculous. Health insurance reform is done, which we don't want it reformed. Dial it back to 2007 and then forever stay the hell out of our life. Health insurance should be and was regulated by the states. The only involvement the federal government has is that they should release the landlocking of these states, making it wide open for competition, and just protect us against consumer fraud. That's it. That's the role of the federal government. Protect the borders from foreign and domestic invasion, and protect the general welfare of its citizens. And that, the biggest part of it, is consumer fraud. And that's inspections on restaurants, which should be governed by the states, but oversought by the federal government, making sure that states have teeth enough in their legislation. That's it. Stay the hell out of my life. They shouldn't be taxing my private property called income, and that's what it is. My income is an exchange of time. I get time is my personal property. I give that to an employer who then pays me for my service, for my time. It's an exchange. That's not income. And I'm going off on the rails a little bit, but all this is connected. Income is profit or gain. If my W-2 form says $50,000, I promise you, I did not profit or gain $50,000. I had bills. And like most of Americans, my bills came out to $50,000. I didn't gain anything. I didn't profit anything. You know what profit is? You buy a stock, you buy one piece of stock for 10 bucks. It goes up to 15. I didn't do anything. I made $5. There's my profit. There's my gain. That's income. If I bought a house for $200,000 and my mortgage was $2,000 a month and I had it for 10 years, my cost, let's say I put down $50,000. So I paid $290,000. If I sell it for $350,000, I profited or gained After the 6% fee I got to pay, so that's $54,000, I profited and I gained. Which, by the way, when you're under a certain point, it's tax-free. So I get to have tax-free money on my house, but my income is taxed, which I didn't profit or gain. Now, you figure that one out. We should be taxed like a corporation. And that is what Donald Trump promised in regards to this health insurance business. He was going to make it so that our premiums would be tax deductible. They should. Because that cuts into the money we made. We shouldn't have a locked-in income tax in the first place. Because of what I just shared with you. It's unconstitutional. I don't care that there's an amendment. The amendment is unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court in 1913 should have shot it down. But it's all part of the scam, folks. It's all part of being in that club. And you and I, we don't belong. And those people profit and gain, all of us. And I'm telling you, this thing passes, Trump signs it, we're just one step closer to European-style single payer. And you go talk to people in Britain. Go talk to them. Go see how great it is. Do some research. I did shows on Blog Talk Radio. I did so many shows on how babies, how women were in labor. You can't go to a regular hospital. No, you got to go to a birthing center. And so many couples, it was too far away, the baby died in their womb because they couldn't get the baby out in time. Died of oxygen deprivation. You want that? I've known people from the Czech Republic and Slovakia that their parents get diagnosed with cancer, can't see an oncologist for 6 months. There's a huge waiting list. Why? Because there's a doctor shortage. Why? Who wants to go to medical school? Who wants to pay for insurance? I don't know how they do it over there. But who wants to do all that and make peanuts? Have your salary regulated? Who wants that? I wouldn't want that. I'd rather be a mechanic then. Why would I go to medical school, come out $200,000 in debt, and then be told what I can make by the federal government? I don't think so. And then what you're going to have, you're going to have lower grade foreign doctors coming in here, and you're going to have a low quality, you will have low quality health care. You're going to have crappy health insurance premiums at huge prices because you don't have competition. Smaller insurance companies will lose business, will go out of business, or will be bought out. You'll have very few choices. Folks, fewer choices ends your sovereignty. You must understand that. You must understand what this health insurance control by the government is going to do to us. What it is doing to us. And we will never get rid of single payer. It'll never happen. And this is the legacy that we're going to leave for our children. I, for one, I won't. And this is why I speak out. And that's all I can do. I voted. I'm one vote. I did my job. I'm doing my job. Doing my best to hold President Trump's feet to the fire, and I'm doing my best to educate you. You people have to do something. You want to accept and comply? You can. I won't, and I don't. I am not subject to, and I personally hope I can stay this way, I am not subject to the government-run health insurance platform. I have a Christian health share called LibertyHealthShare.org. They don't pay for baby killing. They don't pay for drug and alcohol abuse. You've got a personal or mental therapy. You've got an emotional problem. You go to your pastor. That's how it was always done before European psychology was invented and brought to the United States. You went to your pastor or your priest. You sought the Bible for comfort. You didn't go to secular head shrinkers. So they don't pay for that. I'm 52 years old. I pay $199 a month. This is my third year. Hasn't gone up. $500 deductible. I'm covered $1 million per issue. Heart attack, $1 million. Stroke, $1 million. Cancer, $1 million. I'm getting a colonoscopy and an endoscopy. They're considered screenings. I'm not paying a dime. You know what I'm paying? $30 for the diuretics. Done. I didn't even pay for the doctor's appointment to set it up. Nothing. $30. Whereas that procedure would cost, the two procedures would cost thousands. You get it? I'm not beholden to the federal government. And as long as they don't attack Christians in the health insurance industry, I'll be fine. Take the steps, folks. Get off your ass. Get out of this mess as you can. And you have the power. You're not using it. And that's shame on you. Shame on you. Now, I understand, you know, you folks over 60, you know, I get it. It's not your fault, you know. Because a lot of people ask me that, I talk, well, how does that affect, you know, can I get it? You know, I'm on Medicare. I don't know. I said, call Liberty Health Share. Get online, call them. I'm not going to give advice on that. I'm not qualified. You know, I get it if you're hooked into that. I understand that. But we have no excuse to leave our children vulnerable to federal government tyranny. We don't have an excuse anymore. I said that yesterday. We've got the history. We've got the internet. Tap of a finger. Click of a mouse. We can find out anything we want. There's no more excuse for ignorance. It's over. It's over. Now, you're committing a crime against you, your family, and your country, staying ignorant, staying in the wheel, and begging the government to fix your problems and to tell you how to live and to help you and coast you along. Incorrect. The fight for individual liberty and individual sovereignty will never, ever, ever end while mankind is in control of the government and supernaturally as long as Satan is. 1 John 5:19. The world is in the power of the wicked one. And until that is released, either through us or a counter supernatural, yet we call that the second coming of Christ, I understand that. It's an eternal fight for individual sovereignty against tyrants. And when are you people going to make the march? And you can do that. Find a Christian MediShare. There are hundreds of companies. I picked Liberty. I like the name. I like the plan. I shopped a little bit. I checked out two or three others. I like Liberty. And I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. Having another physical in November, they're paying for it. It's maintenance. Be smart, folks. Don't just see an article and give a like and give a one-word answer. Yeah, Republic. Get in there. Get involved. Look at what's being said. Look at what's being written. Learn. Pass it to your children. You have a godly responsibility to care for the future generations coming up. You're obligated. And shame on you for not doing so, if you're not. Now, I'm going to get into this nonsense of the latest release. So, This article is from, let me give you the website, nonprofitquarterly.org. It's acting as a hub in this case. The article is actually from the Washington Post, June 22nd. So the GOP caucus in the U.S. Senate has released its version of legislation to repeal and replace. See, right there. Replace. We don't want it replaced. Of the Affordable Care Act. Nope. It was the Government-Run Insurance Industry Act. The House Senate, which used it to develop the Better Care Reconciliation Act, of 2017, has followed the AHCA. Yeah, because that blew up. The 142-page bill is still actually in the discussion draft stage and is an amendment in the form of a substitute to the AHCA, technically known as H.R. 1628, technically known as the GOP's version of government control of the health insurance industry. The Congressional Budget Office is expected to issue its scoring of the bill early next week. President Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell are contemplating a vote on the bill, including numerous amendments, as soon as next week. Well, again, this was a couple of weeks ago. As we know, they're delaying the vote. Right, because they don't have enough votes. They shouldn't. Now, one Republican worth his or her salt should vote yes on this government control of the health insurance industry. Some aspects of the Senate draft legislation are less draconian than the House version, such as insurance subsidies being calculated using income, age, and geography, as the ACA currently does, rather than using the AHCA formula, which relies primarily on age as a criterion. However, the income levels required to qualify for subsidies would be lower than those under the ACA. So, it looks to me that this GOP version is even more welfare-oriented, more handout-oriented, more socialist-oriented than even Obamacare. Imagine. The Senate bill retains the AHCA language that effectively makes Planned Parenthood ineligible to receive Medicaid reimbursements for 1 year. See, that's a crock. Okay, that is not defunding Planned Parenthood, which is what the American people demanded. We demanded our tax dollars not going to Planned Parenthood. Not for 1 year, but forever. See, forever. What happens after year one? They get funded again. That's not what we asked for. And it's not what President Trump promised. Go back to YouTube, folks, and look it up. Just type in, Trump promises defunding Planned Parenthood. He never said for 1 year. He said defunding Planned Parenthood. And I'm confident he said that in the debates. He didn't say for 1 year. I wonder how many people of you people out there know that the funding of Planned Parenthood is only discontinued for 1 year. I wonder how many people really know that. Matter of fact, I think I'll ask that question on Facebook today. I think I'm going to ask, under the GOP health insurance repeal and replace bill, how long is Planned Parenthood defunded for? I wonder what to see. And that will exercise you to Google that. Can't wait for the responses. 1 year. Amazing. It also provides the option for states to change the definition of essential health benefits required to be covered in plans sold in their states. Now, I like that. A 20-year-old getting insurance on himself most likely doesn't need an insurance policy as comprehensive as, say, a 50-year-old. He or she most likely will only need catastrophic insurance, a major issue. So, that part's good. The annual or lifetime caps on coverage included as part of the AHCA are not removed in either the AHCA or Senate GOP bills, but because the AHCA allows states to make changes in essential health benefits, some insured people may see their coverage limited. Now, I don't know what that means. Does that mean that if something goes over the cap, you got to pay for it? What is the cap? Is the cap $50,000? Is it $100,000? Is it $1 million like me with Liberty HealthShare? I'm not even sure what that means. Both the AHCA and the Senate GOP draft bill repeal most of the taxes imposed by the ACA to fund the legislation's costs. Well, that's fine. One key exception to this is the so-called Cadillac tax on low-deductible comprehensive health insurance plans. Both bills allow for insurers to charge up to 5 times more to customers than they do to others, up from 3 times more under the ACA. Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't believe in price controls. If somebody has the money to afford a mega plan that has zero deductibles and unlimited coverage, yeah, it should cost a lot. If the health insurance company is willing to create policies that put them at massive risk of huge payouts, then certainly you should pay for it. You don't have to buy it. So, I don't think that there should be a cap on anything. If Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, wants to charge 10 times the amount for their, let's say, gold plan, as opposed to their standard plan, well, you know what? Hey, you don't have to choose the Cadillac plan. You see, that's choice. So this means nothing to me. However, Medicaid is affected under the proposed legislation is critical because about 20% of Americans receive Medicaid paid services. Well, see, that's a problem. See, Medicaid is a big problem. There are people on Medicaid that take full advantage. See, these government subsidies, people have a tendency to milk the system. Maybe have more children than they could afford. I mean, look, I love children. If I had the money, you know, when I was, I would have had 5, 6, 7 kids. I love dogs. We have 4. If I had the time, if I had the money, I'd have 100 dogs. You know, oh well. Should I expect a subsidy from the government if I have 10 or more dogs? Why should I have you pay for my want of a large dog family? I shouldn't. And if I can't afford it, I can't have it. And that should be how it is with the entire human race. See, and it's a little segue, but that's why we see certain ethnic groups exploding in population on purpose. And we see other ethnic groups drastically reducing their birth rates. And that's on purpose. Because government is deciding winners and losers. That's not the American Republic. Everybody comes here, they plant their personal flag, Actually, you know what? They throw out their former flag of where they came from. They plant the American flag, and they make their own way. And all the government is supposed to do, as I said at the top of the hour, is to protect us from fraud and foreign and domestic invasion. Done. Excuse me. Bad allergies today. I should probably get some lung cleanse from Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Government is to protect us from invasion and fraud. Done. And it's a shame that so many so-called real Americans, patriots, blah, 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 have that socialist mindset. What can the government do for me? I want the government to fix my problems. I want the government to subsidize my stuff. And that's exactly what the GOP is, this health insurance situation is all about. The federal tentacles on an industry. When does the government reach the end zone, which I believe is single payer? When do they jump on another industry? And do you think they're not? Do you think that they're not looking at the automotive industry with this autopilot car driving crap? I'm not getting one unless they make me. That's what the song from Rush, Red Barchetta, was all about in 1981. That's what it was all about. The motor law. And that freestanding driving, autonomous driving by me, the person, was done away with. And the government will regulate and own that. And again, it'll be to your detriment. And I know I'm veering off a little bit, but you're going to be told where you can go, when you can go. Believe me, you're going to have designated times of when you can go someplace through your automatic car, because they're going to own the software. True story. So, for you millennials, that's so cool. The car will drive by myself, and I can play with my phone and iPad while I'm going someplace. Yeah, you think that's wonderful? No, you won't. No, you won't. So, I want to play for you what Rand Paul... So, let me just finish off the article. Bottom line is this. You're still going to have that 30% surcharge to health insurance industries if you dare not have insurance continuous coverage. So, if it comes down to you in a situation where it comes to eating or continuing your health insurance premiums, just be ready. Just be ready. Just be prepared. You're going to get hit with a massive fine. It's just what that surcharge is. It's a fine. It's a levy. It's a fee. It's a tax. I don't care who's getting it. But you're going to be bent over severely. But of course, maybe if you're dead broke, and maybe if you're only making $18,000, well, maybe the government will subsidize that fee and pay the insurance company for you. That's communism. So, here's Rand Paul.
And back to the battle over health care. I spoke a short time ago with Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, one of the key votes that could determine the future of the GOP effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. Senator Paul, thank you very much for joining us. Is there any doubt in your mind if the vote had gone ahead today or tomorrow that the bill would have failed?
You know, I don't think there were enough votes, but I think there also just hasn't been enough time to have a full discussion. We just got the bill last week. We just got the CBO score on Monday. So there needs to be a little bit of more time to absorb this, but then also to discuss what are the changes that the leadership might be open to in order to get it to pass.
Well, speaking of that, you met with President Trump at the White House earlier today. You tweeted after your meeting, you said, real Donald Trump is open to making the bill better. Is the Senate leadership? My question to you is, in the president's meeting right now with the rest of the Republicans in the Senate, what changes does the president want to see in this bill?
Well, you know, I don't think it's so much him lobbying us for changes. It's us, you know, asking him for help and getting the changes done. I think he has the bully pulpit. He has a great deal of influence with the Republican Party on both the House and the Senate side. And I think the bill right now, to the conservative point of view, doesn't have enough repeal. In fact, it looks like we're keeping a lot of Obamacare. Even the architect of Obamacare, Jonathan Gruber, said, hey guys, don't worry, we're actually keeping Obamacare. So we actually think that there needs to be more repeal. That's the message I took to him. But I also took a specific list that we're sending to Senate leadership, and we're saying, if you address these items, there's a possibility we could vote for this bill, but it's got to look more like repeal and less like we're keeping it.
Well, as you know, what the president has said about the House version of the bill, which many people said was tougher than the Senate bill, he said it was mean and he wanted a bill with more heart. So where are we on this?
You know, I think there are various ways you can characterize both Republican and Democrat, you know, proposals. President Obama, I think, wanted what was best for the country, but I think it didn't work well. I think we have the death spiral, and I think, you know, particularly premiums in the individual market are going through the roof. I think Republicans want what's best for the country also, but I think they're not fixing the death spiral of Obamacare. They're going to subsidize it with a lot of taxpayer money. So characterizing something as mean or generous, I think, goes to people's motives. And I think it's sort of why we have such an angry country now. We think that people have ill motives. But I think Republicans want people to have health insurance. We want people to be healthy. So do Democrats. We just believe in different type of economic system or different types of limitations of government or more expansive government and how we can do it.
One of the things, Senator Paul, you've talked about wanting to do away with is the Obamacare tax on individuals making over $250,000 a year. That would be that's the money that's been used to pay for many of the subsidies for people with lower income.
Right.
It's a transfer, taking money away from those who have more to give it to people who have less, but that troubles you?
No, we already do quite a bit of that, and it's called Medicaid. The problem or the fundamental flaw of Obamacare was that they put regulations on the insurance, about 12 regulations, which increased the cost of the insurance. And so President Obama wanted to help poor working class people, but he actually hurt them by making the insurance too expensive to want to buy. I had someone at the house just recently who was doing some work, and he said, oh, my son doesn't have insurance. He's paying the penalty because it's too expensive. So President Obama said, we want to make insurance perfect for people, but he added all these regulatory mandates, made it too expensive. Young, healthy people didn't buy it, and the people remaining in the insurance pool were sicker and sicker. That's the adverse selection and the death spiral of Obamacare. And so, really, we do need to discuss the intricacies of what worked and what didn't work in Obamacare. And I think the better way to do this is to let individuals have the freedom to choose what kind of insurance is best for them. The government doesn't always know best. Maybe the individual should be allowed to choose.
Senator, I hear you, and I've read some of the other comments you've made lately. You have some very strong views on this. As you just said, you'd like to do away with this tax on individuals earning high earners. You've talked about doing away with the mandates in Obamacare. You talk about health savings accounts. But other members of the Senate, including other Republicans, have very different ideas. They're worried about these Medicaid cuts in this legislation. Where is the common ground?
Well, that's what we're going to see if we can find it. I mean, one of the things that horrifies me is that we would be giving taxpayer money to very, very wealthy corporations. The insurance companies make about $15 billion a year. They've doubled their profit margin under Obamacare. And so now we're going to take a lot of this and call it a stabilization fund, but really it is a bailout of insurance companies. And I just think that's wrong. I just can't see why ordinary average taxpayers would be giving money to very, very wealthy corporations. An analogous situation would be this. We all complain that new cars cost too much. Why don't we have a new car stabilization fund and give $130 right. billion dollars to car companies? We could do that in any industry, but it's not really good economics. What it is you're simply transferring money from the ordinary average taxpayers to very wealthy corporations.
But Senator, my understanding is that that plan was put in there to take care of some of those people at the lower income level because of these changes in Medicaid. Still don't see where the middle ground is between you, other Republicans, and certainly with Democrats.
Actually, the money in the stabilization fund, $130 billion, which I call an insurance bailout, is put in to try to cure the adverse selection that Obamacare created by making insurance too expensive. Healthy people didn't buy it. They tried to fix this by forcing young people to buy it through an individual mandate. Even that didn't work. So the way the Republicans fix it is they don't actually fix it. They subsidize it. So, you know, we have to fix what went wrong with Obamacare, not just recapitulate something that's broken.
What you're saying makes it sound like you're still uncertain this is going to pass.
Yes, I'm uncertain whether it's going to be enough of a repeal bill for conservatives, and we need to, you know, adhere to our promise. We promised people we'd repeal it. We talked about all the problems of Obamacare. We shouldn't leave half of it in place and expect things to be better.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, we thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me get rid of that. So, at least Rand Paul didn't use the word replace. At least he didn't do that. And I'll tell you right now, if I was a senator or if I was a congressman, you better believe I would publicly declare I'm voting no. Interesting. And I just want to repeat this because at the end of the show, I'm going to play another clip. At the end of the show, I'm going to display for you how badly the GOP, and I'm sorry, since this president wants to sign this into law, he's in with them, are bigger liars or as big of a liar as the left. Keep in mind that I read to you, and I'll read it again, both the AHCA and the Senate GOP draft bill repeal most of the taxes imposed by the ACA to fund the legislation's cost. Here it comes. One key exception to this is the so-called Cadillac tax on low-deductible comprehensive health insurance plans. So, in 2017, they're going to keep this Cadillac tax in there. They're actually going to make it even more expensive because they're going to allow the ratio to be greater than 5-1 in most states. Whereas under the ACA, it was 3-1. I'm going to close with an article that talks about the Cadillac tax again and what the GOP promised in 2016 when they knew that President Barack Obama was going to veto it and the House did not have the 2/3 needed to override the presidential veto. They were blowing smoke up our asses. And I'm going to prove that. I'm going to play a second clip. It's Rand Paul again. And then there's commentary from an independent radio host. It looks like it says End Times News, and he'll give his name. He did very well, blasting the establishment. And then I'm going to read to you what the GOP promised us in 2016.
But people forgot their promise. Their promise wasn't that, oh, we're going to make sure everybody has an insurance premium of X. Our promise was to repeal the disaster that is Obamacare. We have to decide, is it the government's role to subsidize insurance and insurance companies? I don't think insurance companies should get a penny of our money. I mean, they make $15 billion a year in the group market. They segregate a very small part of the insurance market. They whine. They come to Washington and say, we need money. Oh, we want to help everybody, but the taxpayer has to pay us to help everybody.
Is there anything you can give on short of an overall repeal? I mean, just to get something done.
From the beginning, I've said I want 100% repeal, but I'll settle for any percentage repeal as long as we're not creating new entitlements. So, for example, the compromise is maybe some of the moderate senators would only repeal 50% and I want 100%. We can determine somewhere in the middle a compromise on what percentage repeal. I just am morally, philosophically, and personally, I find it objectionable to bail out insurance companies. That's not who we are as Republicans, and I find it objectionable to create new entitlement programs or for the federal government to be in the process of buying insurance.
Any of your colleagues agree with you? Because the Republicans cannot afford any more no votes.
They all agreed with me when they campaigned. They just have forgotten their campaign promise, which was to repeal Obamacare.
That was Kentucky Senator Rand Paul decrying the cowardice of today's GOP. This is Jake Morfonius with the End Times News Report. Let's talk for just a minute about this pseudo-repeal of Obamacare. We know that just a few years ago, the Grand Old Party campaigned on this promise that if they would just, if the people would just put them into power, not just in power in Congress, in the House, but if you give them the Senate, the House, and the White House, they would repeal Obamacare, this dreaded, damnable piece of garbage that has basically turned into nothing more than a giant tax on the American people. In fact, that's exactly what the government argued under the Obama administration when they were in the Supreme Court fighting to keep Obamacare as the law of the land. They said, hey, Congress has the power to tax, and that's what this is. It is a tax on the American people. It's not health care. It's a tax. Because the truth is, this individual mandate idea, it's unconstitutional. There is nothing in the United States Constitution that grants to the federal government the power or authority to reach down into the lives of every man and woman and in-between transgender in the country and say, there is a particular product or service that we think that you should have to buy. And by golly, you are going to buy that service or we are going to fine you and perhaps penalize you in some other way. Never happened before in the history of the United States. And this time, of course, when it went to the Supreme Court, that was the argument being made. You can't do this to the American people. It's unconstitutional. We have something called the Bill of Rights. The 9th Amendment to the Constitution, the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, both of these amendments in the Bill of Rights say that any powers that are not specifically elucidated in the U.S. Constitution are powers that are not within the purview of the federal government. That those powers, those rights are to be held close to the people, in the hands of the people themselves, or at worst, their state governments, but not the federal government, and mandating that all U.S. citizens pay for an insurance that many of us don't even want because the insurance sucks and it doesn't provide us with any real benefit, that is not constitutional, and that's the point that the Republicans were making. Put us in power and we will repeal it. They signed it in blood. We will repeal this dreaded Obamacare. And so the American voters, or at least those that are registered Republicans and many independents, they voted. They put into power a lot of new Republicans. Rand Paul was one of the men who swept into power based largely on that promise. And so Senator Paul is just, he's saying, hey, what's going on here? Why is it that all of my colleagues who came into power on this issue have now reneged? Why is it that they are breaking their promises? Folks, I don't know what you call a politician who says one thing and then does another, but in my dictionary, I call that person a liar. These crooked, corrupt politicians get in there, they make promises of what they're going to do, they get in and they say, oh, it's just too hard. No, it's not. The problem is, you get in there and you immediately get bought up by corporations, multinationals, you get bought up by these insurance companies, whoever is going to give you money to stay in power, and you do their bidding because you don't represent the American people, you represent yourself, you dirtbags. So, let me read to you this article, something that Senator Paul just put out. It appears on Breitbart. Exclusive, Senator Rand Paul, Senate GOP decides to keep Obamacare. And I'll read it to you. He says, I miss the old days when Republicans stood for repealing Obamacare. Republicans across the country and every member of my caucus campaigned on repeal, often declaring they would tear out Obamacare root and branch. What happened? Now, too many Republicans are falling all over themselves to stuff hundreds of billions of taxpayers' dollars into a bill that doesn't repeal Obamacare and feeds big insurance a huge bailout. Obamacare regulations? Still here. Taxes? Many still in place, totaling hundreds of billions of dollars. Insurance company bailouts? Those too. Remember when Republicans complained about Obamacare's risk corridors? Remember when we called the corridors nothing more than insurance company bailouts? I remember when one prominent GOP candidate during a presidential debate explicitly called out the Obamacare risk corridors as a bailout to insurance companies. Does anyone else remember that? Now the Senate GOP plan being put forward is chock full of insurance bailout money to the tune of nearly $200 billion. Republicans, present company excluded, now support the idea of lowering your insurance premium by giving a subsidy to the insurance company. Remarkable. If the GOP now supports an insurance stabilization fund to lower insurance prices, maybe they now support a new car stabilization fund to lower the price of cars. Or maybe the GOP would support an iPhone stabilization fund to lower the price of phones. The possibilities are limitless once you accept that the federal government should subsidize prices. I remember when Republicans favored the free choice of the marketplace. The Senate Obamacare bill does not repeal Obamacare. I want to repeat that so everyone realizes why I will vote no as it stands now. The Senate Obamacare bill does not repeal Obamacare. Not even close. In fact, this Senate GOP bill codifies and likely expands many aspects of Obamacare. The Senate Obamacare light bill codifies a federal entitlement to insurance. With the Senate GOP bill, Republicans, for the first time, will signal that they favor a key aspect of Obamacare, federal taxpayer funding of private insurance purchases. The bill will transfer billions of dollars to people who will then transfer billions of dollars to insurance companies. What a great business model! Encourage the federal government to use taxpayer money to buy a private company's product. Great business model, that is, if you're a big insurance company. Remarkable. The Senate Obamacare light bill does what the Democrats forgot to do, appropriate billions for Obamacare's cost-sharing reductions, a.k.a. subsidies. Really? Republicans are going to fund Obamacare subsidies that the Democrats forgot to fund? Doesn't sound much like a repeal to me. One might even argue it's worse than Obamacare light because it actually creates a giant superfund to bail out the insurance companies, something even the Democrats feared to do. I was first elected in the heady days of the Tea Party tidal wave when tens of thousands of citizens gathered on the central city lawn to protest big government, big debt, and a government takeover of health care. The citizenry won in four elections. Each time, the GOP establishment told conservatives, we can't repeal Obamacare until we have all three branches of government. Finally, in 2016, that came to pass. Republicans now control all three branches of government. And the best that is offered is Obamacare Lite, keeping the Obamacare subsidies, keeping some of the Obamacare taxes, creating a giant insurance bailout superfund, and keeping most of the Obamacare regulations. Shame. Shame on many in the GOP for promising repeal and instead affirming, keeping, and in some cases expanding Obamacare. What a shame. I agree with Senator Paul. I think that a lot of you do too, because it was the anger of the populace, like people like me and you, who backed the Tea Party movement to get some of these, this fresh blood into the United States Congress to try and repeal Obamacare, to try and restore power back to the people where the power is intended to belong. That was the vision of the Founding Fathers. They knew that once you allow, once the people give up and don't fight to retain their power, once they cede that to the federal government, government is never going to give it back. And if you see them trying to take it, that is tyranny, and it is the duty of the American people to rise up and fight against their government. Now, I don't mean take up arms necessarily, at least not yet. What I do mean is we go out to town halls and we make our voices heard. Who cares if these people feel intimidated? They ought to feel intimidated. They are liars, they are cowards, and in some cases, they're absolute traitors to the American people. They need to fear us. That's the whole idea of a representative democracy. You represent the people, and if you go back on your promises, then the people will pull your butts out of the power, the seats of power that you were given, and we replace you with someone else. But instead of fearing the people, they turn to these big insurance companies, these big banks, these big corporations, and say, "Hey, look, now I'm in power. These schmucks back who elected me, they're going to try and remove me. So I need, if you want me to do these things that are favorable to your companies, to your industry, I need you to give me enough cash to guarantee that anyone that they put up against me in the primaries, I'll be able to defeat." Why do you guys think that freaking John McCain, one of the worst senators in U.S. history, is still in power after all these years? There isn't a Republican or conservative bone in the man's body. We just found out in the news, well, actually, I talked about this months ago, but they're acting like it's brand new news, that John McCain is the guy who arranged to have the that garbage intel brought into America. He actually sent his own representative to, I think it was Britain, to bring back this dossier on Donald Trump. This dirt on Trump, the whole golden showers thing, you know, Trump went to Russia, and there in the hotel where Obama and Michelle and Barack had stayed, Trump hired these hookers to come in and urinate on the bed and engage in sex games. Total fabrication, but it was...
All right, I'm going to stop right there because now he's getting into other stuff. Obviously... the gist of it was the government encroachment, their tentacles in industry, which is un-American. He talks about the 10th Amendment, which was supposed to limit federal powers. Well, and I'm doing some research on this, the 14th Amendment may have severely weakened states' rights within the Union itself, because we are now national and federal citizens, not necessarily citizens to our respective state, which before the 14th Amendment, as I said yesterday, states were actually individual countries. If you've seen, well, for instance, if you watch the John Adams series on HBO, Thomas Jefferson and Adams were having a discussion, and Jefferson said, "I cannot wait to get back to my own country of Virginia." See, not state, but country. And while the 14th Amendment was basically supposed to stop racial discrimination, we obviously see that it has branched out, and this is what happens. Like a vampire, you open that door into your house, the vampire never leaves. So, looks like the Federalists have won, and it seems like under the 14th Amendment, the federal government can override every single state law, which is why they feel that they're valid for regulating, really running, the health insurance industry, which prior to Obama was regulated by the individual states. So I want to go back in time a little bit, and this is coming from thehill.com, and it's funny. I'm the only one talking about this, be it mainstream media, be it independent media, like Alex Jones, Mike Cernovich, Gerald Celente, Michael Savage, whoever. No other voice but mine has been talking about this for months. That the Republican Party, both houses, actually passed a bill. That if we had a president who was on board with repealing the stranglehold by the federal government on the health insurance industry, it would have been signed into law and this discussion would be over. And I'm going to post this article on Facebook and I'm going to say, do a control F, do a find, type in replace, and see how many times the word comes up. I'll leave that right there for you. So this goes back to 2016. President Obama on Friday vetoed legislation that would repeal much of Obamacare, the first such measure to reach his desk since it became law in 2010. Obama used his veto pen without fanfare on a legislative package rolling back his signature health care law and stripping federal funding from Planned Parenthood. Now, I don't see anywhere in this article that Planned Parenthood was only going to be defunded for 1 year. It said defunding Planned Parenthood. I'm going to take that as in perpetuity. In a lengthy message to Congress, Obama said repealing the law would reverse improvements. Well, there were no improvements. So, I just want to get down to Mr. Paul Ryan. The veto was the eighth of Obama's presidency and the sixth since last year when Republicans took over both chambers of Congress. Even though Obama long threatened to veto the measure, Republicans touted the vote as an important step towards reversing the ACA if the party wins the White House in November. You see, what they were doing, what the Republicans were doing, was they were convincing us that they were on our side of liberty, on the side of the Constitution, to get our votes. They were grooming us for Election Day. And they were successful. And they didn't have to humiliate themselves by lying to us. I mean, who with a sane mind was going to vote Democrat anyway? Let's be honest. Only uninformed, ignorant, crazy morons are on the left. I mean, nobody really intellectual can be a liberal. They can play one. That's called a pseudo-intellectual. But let's be honest. They have zero rationale because everything on the left represents failure. Communism, baby killing, perversion, you name it. Totalitarianism, which, you know, people like Paul Ryan, they might as well just switch over. Because he's certainly, him and the Constitution is an oxymoron. So Paul Ryan says, it's no surprise that someone named Obama vetoed a bill repealing Obamacare. But we will still hold a vote to override this veto, taking this process all the way to the end under the Constitution. Ryan said the vote showed there was a clear path for Republicans to repeal the law. No. The clear path was provided for by we the people when we voted in Donald Trump, who promised to repeal the ACA. All the Republicans have to do is resurrect this same bill, pass it, which it would, and sign it into law, President Donald J. Trump. Done. End of story. Dust it off. Shine it up real nice. Hand it to President Trump. He signs it. Ball game over. That should have been done in January. All they had to do was set the date. Trump won in November. Prepare the bill again. Just whatever they need, just put, hey, just, you know, I don't know. What do you do? It's electronic. PDF it to everybody. You put it on the floors of the House and Senate. No later than February 1st, Donald Trump is signing it into law. It's over. Nobody talks about that but Michael B. of the Truth Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody. The idea that Obamacare is a law of the land for good is a myth. Yeah, right. Single payer is the law of the land regarding health insurance for good. That's the desire. That's the goal. This law will collapse under its own weight or it will be repealed. No. Laws don't collapse under their own weight. Health insurance companies do. But laws are on paper. Laws are forever until they are changed. Obamacare will exist under another name if we, the American people, do not demand a full and unconditional repeal and a backpedaling to 2008. The only minor change should be is that state landlocking on insurance companies from competing be removed. That's it. Done. That's it. Three. What is that? 15 words? Yet we, the American people, want this junk that the establishment and Donald Trump are pushing on us. Disgraceful. The votes to attempt overriding the president's veto are expected to take place later this month and potentially coincide with the date of the annual March for Life. In getting the reconciliation bill to Obama's desk, Republicans were able to skirt a Democratic filibuster, blah, blah, blah. Here it comes, folks. The GOP also hoped a vote would help them dictate the political agenda in the early weeks of 2016. No, what they wanted to do, folks, was dictate the path towards re-election in November of 2016 by playing the hero, presenting really a very good bill, knowing the president in office at that time was going to veto it. So they could say, well, we tried, we did it, look what we did. He shot it down. We've got to get a Republican president in there, and we'll get this passed. And it's been blown out of the water. I'll read to you what it would have done. The bill attacks the core parts of the law, including an expansion of Medicaid and federal subsidies to help people purchase insurance. Here's the big one. Remember I talked about the Cadillac tax. In the present bill of 2017, they're keeping that tax. But here's what they said in 2016. It scraps mandates on individuals to buy insurance. There was no 30% surcharge, which in effect is a mandate to buy insurance and employers to provide it, as well as a litany of taxes, including levies on medical devices and high-cost plans known as the Cadillac tax. So, in 2016, knowing that their bill would be vetoed, they pledged to get rid of the Cadillac tax. But now, with the Republican president, the Cadillac tax is still on the board. And most of Obamacare is still on the books. And the bottom line is, the federal government keeps their tentacles on the health insurance industry forever. This is an expansion of socialism, which is unconstitutional, and it is un-American. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. See you Monday, 10 a.m. Central.